much about.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Miami Beach, a little Jewish grandmother supposed to take care of the Jewish grandson by the water. She turns her head away. A wave washes the kid way out. They call the lifeguard, the helicopter, the police. They finally grab the little kid. They bring him in. They pump him out for an hour. The kid starts to breathe again. The grandmother says he had a hat.
Bam, 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 bam.
I love it.
Survey says you.
And now. Our feature presentation.
This isn't about what you do. It's been a long weekend, Kevin Bush Show.
What did you do?
What did you do?
What did you do? Hey, party people, it is Monday. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show, or should we call it the And Bean Show? Here's your toll-free number if you're going to get on the air at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Give us a call. Talk about whatever you want, and we give you a prize for being on. Oh, there's the boy. Well, I got a great story for you today, so I'll just wait till he gets plugged in here.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining the Kevin and Bean Show. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Huh? Yeah, we did all that.
Covered that?
Yeah, we did that. We actually started the show already. Show's
what?
Already up and running. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, we hit the ground going.
You should tell me when you're going to start the show so I know how to be here.
Yeah, I guess the schedule has changed a lot recently. Oh, wait, it's been on for the same time for 20 years.
Yes.
All right, here's, before we go to your calls, Yanni Barrios. You know who he is, Kevin. He, of course, is perhaps the most famous of the Chilean miners because he was the one who we joked wasn't going to come up because he had his wife and his mistress waiting for him on the outside. He, you know, they met each other at a candlelight vigil, basically for him, and that's how each discovered the other, the wife and mistress.
Yeah, and that's not good.
69 death-defying days trapped in that collapsed mine down there in Chile. Well, it's funny that he's the one that we know the most about personally, and he, therefore, is the one who gets the first enormous paycheck. He has been offered $100,000 to be the Spanish-speaking spokesperson for, no surprise here, AshleyMadison.com.
Oh, of course.
What could be more perfect, right?
That makes sense.
AshleyMadison.com, if you haven't heard of it, is the website that basically caters to people who are looking to have extramarital affairs. They go, hey, look, everybody's going to cheat anyway. Why don't we just make it easier for you? And why don't we give you some good people to choose from, people who are into it, right? So they're offering him $100,000 to star in television commercials, radio ads, make public appearances throughout North and South America. Here's the caveat for the contract, though. This is the deal. He has to stay married to his current wife in order to get this deal.
Wow.
Because if he, you know, now decides, hey, the mistress is the way to go, and he divorces his wife, well, then he's not having an affair anymore, and then Ashley Madison didn't want to have anything to do with him.
Wow. So that's a tough call.
Yeah, it's a very tough call. Although, apparently, he's been dating this girl for years while married, so I guess he can continue to do that. I just don't know that his wife wants to continue to be married to him now that she knows. I mean, she wouldn't even meet him at the mine. This is her husband. At least he was when he went down into the mine, you know, 3 months ago, and then she wouldn't even see him once he got out.
But for $100,000, don't you think she'd go, yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah,
you can stay married for a year or whatever it is.
If he cuts her in on some of the profits, sure. About 17% of new members on AshleyMadison.com are Spanish-speaking. So this is an emerging market for them.
All
so
right.
It sounds like a pretty good deal. So I say win-win, right?
Well, win-win, yeah. Win-win-lose.
No, the outside there.
I guess it is, yeah. I guess it's win-win-win because even the wife, who's going to be the ex-wife, is going to score.
Exactly.
You know, money. So everybody's happy.
So way to go, Yanni.
Nicely
well
done,
my friend.
Nicely
good
done.
Good job.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number you call. We put you on there and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, it's that time of year again. How about a pair of tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain's Fright Fest, presented by Snickers. Now open October Fridays through Sundays through Halloween night. That's the prize, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Al? Looks like he could use a little bit of advice for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Al, thanks a lot for calling. What it do?
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
What do you do?
Hey, how you doing? What's going on? What's happening?
No, my bad.
Yeah, no problem, Al.
Falling asleep right here.
Yeah.
So check this out. I got this really...
Oh, hold on a second here. Al. Did you not know we were doing a radio show?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm half asleep.
Where do you come from where you think that you can say the F word?
That's awesome.
I'm sorry, guys.
But if she actually said it that way, that's...
Those were her exact words.
That's the best.
I'm just, trying to do my best.
Now, wait. Had you... goofed around? Had you kissed? Had you made out anything before this?
No. There was some slight flirting when I would see her at work.
But it went from slight, so it went to 10 miles per hour to 100 miles per hour.
Exactly.
All right.
And that kind of raises a flag in my book. And, here's the funniest part of it. I'm married. And I'm like, I'm married.
Right.
And she's like, well, I don't mind.
Oh, okay.
So at the same time, thinking...
Are you calling to brag or ask for advice or what?
I'm calling really for some advice here, guys.
Well, how hot is she?
I'd say a solid 8.
We're gonna just put you on hold and give you a prize because you don't understand how language works on this show. But thank you for calling, Al.
He uses the F word every time he speaks.
What's up with that?
I say try to juggle both. I think that's probably the best advice. I mean, really.
Especially if your vibe is that she's psycho, because what could go wrong with that?
Right.
Here's the beautiful thing, though. Al knows that he's married, knows that his wife's going to find out about it, knows that this chick is psycho, yet is probably still going to do it because he can't walk away from it.
Yeah.
He's drawn to it.
So what we say doesn't matter. So go ahead, dude. Good luck.
Do whatever you're going to do.
Good luck with that. All right. Let's say hi to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, what to do?
What to do?
Is Baby Boo there?
She's not.
Baby Boo's on vacation this week. We miss her, too.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to call, and I'm so excited. My 0-5 49ers finally won a game, and it was over the Raiders. So,
yeah.
Raiders.
Well, first of all, if you don't beat the Raiders, you might as well just close down the 49ers. You might as well just not have a team anymore if you lose to Oakland. So, thank God it went the way it did.
Yes, I agree.
It's tough in a 16-game season to be 0-5. Now that's a rough start, man. You could look at that and you can go, if they win every game from here on out, still, maybe not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, there's been just a handful of teams in the last 20 years who have been able to overcome. I think I saw the stat yesterday. They were talking about the Cowboys. I think they're 1-5, and they were talking about how rare it is at that point even to be able to save the season. But, yeah, at least you're in a you're in a weak division, at least. That helps.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, very exciting.
Well, congratulations, Jennifer. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. All right.
And Jennifer's hot, too, as all Jennifers are, by the way. And a football fan. She's a pretty good deal. I'm surprised Al isn't sleeping with her, too.
Maybe he is. How do we know? He's probably effing her, too, as Al would
as
say.
As he would say.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Thanks, good buddy. I'll keep my ears on.
Talk about worst birthday gifts. It's
difficult. What could have prompted that?
Nothing. It's difficult to know what to get people. I mean, you want to get something that they want, they like, but you also want to make it a surprise. And sometimes it's hard to figure that out, so you look for clues. And Bean is how do you describe Bean as far as gift giving? I mean, he's a very considerate,
yes,
very thoughtful, puts a lot of work into gifts. Christmas time, every time. But he got his wife Donna a bug for her birthday.
And we're not talking about a Volkswagen Beetle.
No, we're talking about a bug. And, it was dead. He got her a dead bug, but it was stuffed, so that's good.
Thank you. Thank you for the compliment.
He told that last week as if it was like everyone else went, oh, yeah, got my wife bugged that one time, too. She loved it. So we're going to take your calls coming up here very soon on worst birthday gifts. Because, let's face it, every year it comes around, and guys are doomed. Or even girls are doomed to really blow it once in a while. That just happens. Now, this, of course, this wasn't Bean blowing it. I mean, this is a great, great gift.
She loves it.
Right. That's what I meant. We also have the cast of The Buried Life from MTV on the program today.
Those are those gay Canadian kids, right?
Sure. We have Chris Hardwick in the studio. He's got some comedy coming up.
Chris Hardwick, by the way, who I was just telling Psycho Mike, talk about boater time. Chris Hardwick tweeted a photo last night of him in the studio recording something, I don't know what yet, with Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, come on. That's your hero.
What's up with that?
Wow.
I need to hear that story.
Bean loves Weird Al more than anyone on this planet.
Because he's the best person ever of all time.
Of course. That's what I meant.
And he's my Jesus.
We'll check in with TMZ, too. Dax Holt is going to be on the program today to catch us up on everything that went on over the weekend. So that's today's show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Social Distortion singing Johnny Cash. Coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show, it is Monday. Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at a new week's showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, what we do on Mondays is we take a look at the weekend's box office and tell you what the hot movies were. So let's do that. Jackass 3D, no surprise, in its debut weekend, was number one at the box office. Oh, made a paltry $50 million.
All right.
Yeah, people showed up in droves to watch Johnny and the rest of the guys have pucanos and things.
They were expecting 30. That's what they were. That's what they're hoping for.
And
was
that's
30.
Big, by the way.
And that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
50. Wow.
Red also did very well in its debut. $22.5 million, made it number two at the box office for the Bruce Willis comic book action movie. The Social Network was third with $11 million. Still a smash hit. Secretariat was fourth. Life as We Know It came in at number five. Then The Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahooly. Woo! Woo! Flew under the radar with a $4.2 million box office this weekend.
Flew under the radar.
See, Kevin?
How do you do it?
You're sharp still. The Town was seventh. My Soul to Take was eighth. Easy A with Emma Stone was ninth. And then Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. A disappointing $2.4 million at the box office this weekend. Sad, tragic, horrible news over the weekend as we found out that Mrs. Cleaver was dead. The Beaver's mom, Barbara Billingsley, who played everyone's favorite TV mom, June Cleaver, for all those years. She was the Beeves' mom.
Yeah.
Married to Ward.
Yeah.
Remember when she said that dirty thing? Ward, you were a little hard on the Beaver last night. everyone gasped. She was 94.
The dirtiest thing ever said on television.
94 years old today, so she had a long, happy life. Of course, she was also in Airport, that classic movie Airport.
Airplane.
She was the passenger who spoke jive and was able to translate to the stewardess for those
funny
black dudes. Stewardess, I speak jive. That was awesome. She was an all right lady.
She was the template for generations of TV moms, wasn't she, Ralph?
I mean,
she was the gold standard for moms.
She was she became the cliche of the 50s mom in a pearl necklace and a dress vacuuming in the living room. You know, no one ever dressed that way. Then Jimmy Cleaver started dressing that way. A lot of babies in the showbiz news. Congratulations to Alicia Keys and Swizz Beatz. Ooh. They had their baby over the weekend, a bouncing baby boy named Egypt.
Egypt. Okay.
Listen, parents of Egypt.
Yeah.
Don't call your boy Egypt. It's bad enough if you have a daughter and you called her Egypt. But that you can get away with a little bit because then you know she's headed for the stripper pole.
Right.
But a boy named Egypt, he is just going to get trounced at his local schoolyard.
It's not going to go well.
Do you think the parents that named their boy Egypt are just in denial?
There it is.
Ha ha! Weekend long, you've been storing that one up.
Woo!
I don't get it.
All right. Also, Neil Patrick Harris and his longtime partner, David Burtka, they are the proud daddies of twin babies Gideon and Harper. They came into the world on October 12th via a surrogate mother. Neil Patrick Harris says the foursome is happy, healthy, tired, and just a little pukey. So, sounds like Kevin's morning.
Yeah, my weekend.
I'm also a little peaky.
Dina Lohan. Speaking of mothers, she may have finally realized she could use some help in the parenting department.
Really?
Sources tell TMZ.com that she wants to have a sit-down meeting with Kris Jenner. Kris, of course, the mom of Kourtney Kim and Khloe Kardashian. Because Dina believes the Kardashian girls are so well-adjusted in the spotlight, and she would like to get some tips from Kris on how to keep her daughter well-adjusted while keeping her in the white-hot spotlight of show business.
Wow.
Is that really the priority? Your daughter's in a rehab for drug addiction, and you're concerned about how to make sure she pulls off her public persona in a better way? Oh, Dina.
Wow.
Oh, Dina.
It's funny that stepping out of the spotlight, you're right, Ralph, is not an option.
No.
How can I continue to be the focal point of Hollywood yet also be clean and sober? Right. That's what she's asking.
How can I push Lindsay out there in the spotlight and make sure she stays white hot and she's in all the tabloids and do it in a more effective way? Kris Jenner, that's what I would like to know.
Lindsay's dad and mom are really in a race to see who's the worst.
Just really. Every day there's a news story about how effed up they are. Of course, last week, Michael, Lindsay's dad, famously said he plans on getting really hammered and then arrested, and then he was going to go into Betty Ford so he can visit his daughter if they don't let him have regular visiting hours.
They wouldn't let him in, so that was his answer.
It's like an episode of Prison Break.
Yeah.
He's going to actually get himself arrested and get inside so he can help his daughter get out.
Give him the breathalyzer!
Good news, fellas. This afternoon, it debuts.
This afternoon?
Yeah, The Talk.
What's that?
The Talk, Kevin.
What's The Talk?
Is like The View, but in the afternoon.
Oh,
it's a bunch of biddies chatting at each other, talking about today's hot topics.
Is Bill O'Reilly going to walk off their show, too?
I don't know, but...
Oh, thank you.
The lineup, Kevin, is awesome. We get Julie Chen.
Hi.
Who, she's that robot who hosts Big Brother, which that should be entertaining, because you don't get to see a mannequin talk very often.
That's true.
Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne.
Oh, my.
So she's a lesbian actress, so you got that perspective.
Okay.
You got Sharon Osbourne.
Like her.
No, she's got something to say, at least.
Holly Robinson Pete.
Pretty.
Okay. Sure.
Leah Remini.
Oh, no.
So you got your bitchy Scientology views covered there.
Right.
And then you got Marissa Jarrett Whitaker.
Don't know her.
She's fat.
Right.
Yeah. She was in Hairspray.
All right.
So we got all those girls, and they're just going to talk, Kevin, and they're going to talk.
We need another one of these shows,
Yes, because the views are on in the morning, so this will be our fill of it in the afternoon.
I see.
So check your local listings.
Nope.
And I love this story. There is a radio personality in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love, home of the 4-2 Eagles.
All right.
Falcons, by the way.
Big win.
Are you rubbing it into Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they didn't play as well as I would have liked. That's for sure. This girl, her name is Lisa Natson, but she goes by Golden Girl. That's her radio name.
Oh.
Golden.
Yeah,
is she 80?
No, she's not. She works on the local hip-hop station there in Philly. And apparently they were doing a, you know, we do our concerts twice a year. We do a big Christmas concert, a big summertime concert. Right. They were doing their big radio station concert. And Fabulous was on the bill.
Right.
Now, she tried to get on his tour bus after the show. And the bodyguard said, nope. So now, she claims, I simply joked around that I would stop playing all Fabulous's music during my show if he didn't let me on the tour bus. At that point, the bodyguard picked her up and slammed her to the ground, injuring her shoulder and back.
Wow.
While she claims Fabulous watched.
To the ground?
Here's what I'm telling you what happened. She wanted to get on the bus, and they said, no one's allowed on the bus. And she said, you let me on the... Don't you know who I am? I will stop playing his music here in Philadelphia if he doesn't let me on that bus. And then the bodyguard slammed her to the ground. That's what I'm guessing happened. Which would be more than deserved if that's actually
That's how to take care of it.
Anyway, the case goes to court today. So Fabulous will be in court this week as Golden Girl sues him for $85 million.
Wow.
If I could get $85 million by having someone slam me to the ground and injuring my back and shoulder, I would say, bring it on, Modest Yahoo. That's what I would say. He's probably the one to do it. He's so angry all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin knows. He's in his fan club. Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? The man who pretty much invented rock and roll as we know it, Chuck Berry, the legendary singer, guitarist Chuck Berry, is 84 years old today. Jean-Claude Van Damme, the Muscles from Brussels, he is 50 years old today. Peter Svensson of the Cardigans. You know the Cardigans.
Yeah.
You know, all-time great Kevin and Bean interview, the Cardigans.
Oh, they were so good.
Maybe we'll revisit that later today when we have some more time. He is 36 years old
today. One of them literally fell asleep.
I don't think you've ever had a guest fall asleep during an interview before until then.
What do you mean?
Maybe
he was
never
born,
since.
He was out.
He was sawing logs.
Yeah.
He was in dreamland. 36 years old today. R&B singer Neo is 31. And it's going to be a long day, Kevin.
Oh, well, don't do it then. Just leave it out.
Who is it?
Just leave it out. Leave it out. Don't do it.
Actor Zac Efron celebrates
his
23rd-year-old.
I didn't send anything this year.
Who gives it, damn? Oh, maybe you can get him a bug. Maybe get him a stuffed bug.
Yeah.
I bet he'd
maybe
love
I
that.
Will.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Love it.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
What did you do? Hey, Chris Hardwick on the program today.
Hardwick. That sounds like an erection.
very funny, very entertaining guy. Also, the cast of The Buried Life joins us next hour, too. That hot show over there on MTV. And what's up with Top Gun 2? Do we really need that? We'll discuss later on this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Bean is an odd dude. Yes. And he makes decisions that none of the rest of us would make. And, like, 100% different. So he goes on vacation with his wife, Donna, who humors him like nobody I've ever seen before. He's
Which,
so lucky.
First and foremost, is a rarity.
Right.
Them going on vacation together. That almost never happens.
Usually Bean goes places that no one on this planet would want to go, so Donna just stays home and goes, yeah, I'll take care of the animals. You have fun.
Yeah.
But they went to Paris. And
the one in France.
Yes. And one of the
good one.
Okay. And one of the places that they went when they're in Paris. I mean, if you were to make a list of the things you've seen in Paris, the
right.
Louvre.
You got to check out the Louvre.
Sure. Places like that. He went to
Arc de Triomphe.
He went to a taxidermy shop.
That's third on most people's list. Parisian dead animal store.
Des Rolls is the name of the place. It's been there
sure.
since 1831.
Right.
1831, by
right.
the
you
way.
Put that in your post, which you can see at KevinAB.com.
Very popular, very famous, and beautiful work. And it's like going to a museum in addition to going to a shop where you can actually buy stuffed animals.
Right. But when was it founded?
1831.
Oh, man. See, because that doesn't matter.
All right, those animals must be old in there.
I'm saying that's staying power. That's a place
they
that
got
is
some
popular.
Dusty old animals in that store.
All right, so you're in Paris and you can see anything and you go to a dead animal store.
That was one of the many places. I mean, look, I did all the stuff you talked about and more. I mean,
sure.
I went out to Normandy. I went to all the, you know, tons of museums. I saw a lot of stuff. Really crammed a lot into my week in Paris, but this was one place that
thank God you carved out some time for the dead animal store.
It was fun.
Still managed.
It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess
look at that, Donna. It's dead, is what Bean said 100 times.
It came up on Friday's show because, Ralph, you were talking about some lame-o celebrity in the showbiz beat.
Jesse Metcalf of Desperate Housewives has decorated his entire home in stuffed dead animals and thinks it's groovy, and other people think it's just way creepy.
So here's the tape of the second part of that conversation, which prompted this this topic. When I was in Paris over the summer, Ralph, I went to a taxidermy shop, and they had every animal almost that you could imagine available for sale.
Did you buy anything, Bean?
I bought a bug for my wife for her birthday. I did get her a bug.
Oh, how romantic that must have been.
I guarantee you that was the cheapest thing in the store. That's why Bean bought it.
It was what she liked. She loved. She thought it was a beautiful, beautiful bug.
I'd like that stuffed ant, please. How much is that?
Oh, that is €1.
Oh, too much. Give me something smaller.
Can I have a receipt for that so I can write it off?
So you guys were suggesting that it was a terrible birthday gift, which I'm going to say wrong, sir. Wrong, because she loves the bug. Still talks about the bug.
But don't you...
She's still talking about the bug.
Have you heard about my bug? She'll say to strangers on the street.
Will she? Here's the thing about you. The reason we're suggesting that's a bad birthday gift is because it's a horrible birthday gift.
Right.
That's why. You're in France, a home of Chanel and all, and the high fashion. I know your wife loves fashion. You could have gotten her a pair of Christian Louboutin shoes or a purse or a necklace or diamonds or pearls. And you got her a dead bug. That's what you got her.
Bean's wife did start a business about fashion.
Loves. She is haute couture, as they say.
But what does Paris know about fashion? Come on.
See? You're there in the hub of all things fashionable. You could have gotten her some limited edition beautiful gown to wear or something she would really appreciate. And you got her a bug.
Now,
can I tell you what's weird? Never thought of that, Ralph.
Yeah. Wow.
What a surprise. You don't think like a human.
Now, just because she said, oh, I love it, doesn't mean she loves it, dude.
Right.
I think exactly. She does, though.
Right.
I know
you
think
she does.
Right. But we're saying she is the sweetest woman on earth, that she will play your little reindeer games and
play
let
along
you
with
believe.
Your nonsense. Look, honey, I got you a bug for your birthday.
Isn't this the most beautiful stuffed bug you've ever seen?
Oh.
Well, yes, it is. It is the most beautiful stuffed bug I've ever seen.
In that category, it wins.
Yes.
So, and then she went into the bathroom of your hotel room and just sobbed.
My husband gave me a bug. Oh, I need to end my life.
And then she did the guy who brought room service.
Right.
Yeah.
So the topic on the table then is, although you're wrong about this one,
sure.
There are other people who have screwed up when it comes time to buy a gift. Not this, of course. The bug was a great gift.
I don't know if we're going to beat the bug, quite frankly.
That's pretty tough.
The bug might be the bar.
Yeah.
See if you can clear it.
So you're looking for either people who have misjudged their intended audience and bought something that turned out to suck, that the person hated and maybe cried.
Right. Yes.
Or people who have received something and were powerfully disappointed by the thoughtlessness of the gift. That's
that happens
what we're looking
a lot.
For
not only birthdays, but even Christmas. I mean, anytime there's a gift-giving holiday.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to buy gifts, period.
Because most people love only a few things, and you've probably already given them those things by then. So now you got to try to figure out what else? I can't figure it out. You try to listen for clues. You try and listen like, hey, is my wife talking about bugs all the time? And maybe I could go that direction. But it just, and you mean well, and you give it to them with the best of intentions. And it's not just guys to girls, but for the most part, but it's also girls to guys, you know, and then you just go,
And unfortunately, a lot of people give gifts through the filter of what they would like and what they would enjoy. Maybe you think you'd like to have a stuffed bug in your house. Maybe you like creepy dead things. And you say, my wife would probably enjoy that as well.
She would love this too.
Who wouldn't like a nice stuffed bug?
I will tell you, and by the way, you can see a picture of said bug at kevinandbean.com. And there's also a poll up there if you'd like to vote on whether it was a lame gift and she only pretended to like it, or if it was a good gift and very thoughtful.
Why do that poll?
For many years, by the way, Donna has referred to, not this one, she loved the bug, but other gifts as being Homer gifts after the famous Simpsons episode where Homer gave Marge a bowling ball with his name on it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And I'm sure you have a long history of giving those kinds of gifts.
It probably happens a lot. You know, she doesn't use them. You know, I'll be happy to.
Here's your scale model of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Don't you love it?
1-800-520-1067. Let's try Greg on line one. We're talking about awful gifts that you have either given or received. Of course, the bug, that's not one to make an example.
No.
But Greg, what do you have for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Oh, I received a peachy folder from my ex-wife.
A peachy
folder? Well, actually, it's a folder with a dog on it.
A folder with a dog on it.
That is a 19-cent gift. Am I right?
Yeah, just about. It was like 21 cents on the back.
Is this after you were divorced or while you were still married?
No, this is while we were still married for 7 years.
Okay, and she thought you would like that?
I think so, honestly.
Did you try to fake it? Oh, I've always wanted one of these.
I had no reaction to it. It was kind of like, wow.
You're trying to figure it out?
That's insane.
Yeah.
That, you know what that gift means? That means you forgot it was your birthday and you happened to be at the Save-On.
I gotta find something.
That's the only thing I can grab before I run out the
door. A peach folder, perfect.
Yep.
Was that or a pack of Orbit gum?
Did you ever end up telling her that it didn't really satisfy your need for a gift?
No. I just left it as it was.
What was the occasion, Greg?
That was my birthday.
It was your birthday.
Oh my God.
That's
magical.
Older.
Wow.
It's magical.
All right. Thank you for getting us started. 1-800-520-1067. What's the worst gift you ever gave or received? We'll take your calls after this on the Kevin. Thanks for tuning in, party people. It's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about bad gifts for birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries. You did the best you could, didn't work out. They hated it. Or you received something that was so awful, you're still scarred by it. That's the topic on the table. One,
you're married to somebody who's nice enough to go on and on about how much she loves it when she really doesn't.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to April, line four, please, to get us going. April, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You got the bad gift, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, what was
it? My husband, for Christmas, gave me a pizza slicer because he threw the old one away in the damn pizza box.
Ah. So you needed one, but didn't have one because of him, and so he gave it to you, hoping that you would then, what, make more pizza, or just see what
happened? I don't know if he thought he was going to get the sexy time or what, but let me tell you,
that
I'm
didn't
so
work.
Pissed about it.
Yeah.
Look, I learned a long time ago that you don't buy any kind of appliances or anything that can be used in the kitchen as a birthday, Christmas, or anniversary gift. You just don't. That goes under household expenses.
Anything necessary is not a gift.
Exactly. Thank you for the call, April. Appreciate it. Let's try Adam, line three. Adam, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
My PlayStation 2 had just taken a crap. My birthday was coming up. I had a nice big box. It's all nice and heavy like it was a PlayStation 2. Opened it up, and it was a freaking Build-A-Bear for a 20-year-old man.
It was a Build-A-Bear. Your girlfriend went to Build-A-Bear. So
and all the money she could have on a PlayStation 2, except it was a bear.
Yeah.
So
how was your acting job when you ripped open the paper and opened that box and saw what it really was?
She was wiping tears off of her face by the time I was done telling her how much I did not like this bear that it was sitting in front of me.
Oh.
It was creepy. What am I going to do with it? Why did you give this to me?
You didn't even try to fake it?
No, sir.
Wow. Wow.
And that relationship did not last long, right?
Maybe another year after that. But
oh, yeah. Wow. I'm surprised by that. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's try Ryan, line two. Hey, Ryan. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. Worst 16th birthday gift ever. You know, my birthday's a week before Christmas, so I thought I was going to get the big gift this year. And I open up the little box with tickets to the glory of Christmas for my family and myself.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Now, for folks outside of Southern California, the glory of Christmas is basically it's a religious stage production about Bible stories is what it is, with lots of singing. It's like the lamest thing in the world that you would ever want to go to if you're a 16-year-old kid, right?
It's the reenactment of the birth of baby Jesus.
Right.
Yes, exactly. It's the worst thing ever. And you know what's even worse? My 17th birthday, I got tickets to go see the Phantom of the Opera.
Wow. What's wrong with your family? You didn't give any feedback on the glory of Christmas?
Trust me, they heard about it, but apparently it didn't sink in.
Look, there's two different things. There's parents that really want their family to have a great time and go see a certain thing, but you don't make that a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, especially for a 16-year-old.
And by the way, yeah, Kevin's absolutely right. That's fine if they buy tickets for the family and say, hey, it'll be fun, let's go.
Right.
But that's not your thing. That's not what you want or like. So, yeah, that's
exactly.
That's a terrible gift. Ryan, thank you very much for the call. By the way, Ryan, young man, knows how to tell a story. Gets on the air, tells a story, gets to the point. Everybody should follow his lead. Well done, Ryan. Let's try Alex, line six. Alex, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the worst gifts you've ever gotten or received. What's up?
For my 15th birthday, I received a $5 check from my uncle.
There it is.
Not a $5 bill?
No, a $5 check.
Wrote a check for $5. Now, is your uncle poor?
No, he's not. I've literally gotten $100 checks from him before, and just he gave me a $5 check. I was really confused.
Were you a dick that year when you were 15?
No.
I'm going to give her $5. I'll show her. Except
it's
for
like it's like a tip, basically. The service was crappy that year, so you got a very low tip. It sounds to me like you haven't been calling your uncle just to say hi. He probably thinks you're some sort of a gift whore, like you're just waiting around to hear from him on your birthday every year.
Well, even if I do even call him, so, he doesn't ever talk.
$5 check.
He's the antisocial one.
Yeah, yeah. Did you try to fake it? Did you go, oh, right. $5.
I probably didn't do a good job.
$5 that I have to go to a bank to deposit to get $5 in cash.
That's right.
Wow. Thank you for the call.
Next time he should just give you the drugs. All right. Thanks for the call. Let's try Joe, line seven. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You got an awful gift. What was it?
I got a cufflinks for my birthday.
Cufflinks. Okay.
Okay.
Is that bad?
I don't even own a dress shirt, so it was
was that from a girlfriend? Was that her way of saying, hey, why don't you dress up a little bit?
Possibly, but that's just not me. So.
Yeah.
I bet that's exactly what it was. She got tired of seeing you in T-shirts. She's like, maybe this will spur you to get a dress shirt like a grown-up. All right, great call. Thank you very much. Let's try Jamie, line four. Wow, we got a lot of really bad gifts here.
We do.
Jamie, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What'd you get?
Every year for Christmas, my mother gives me this whole big coconut lotion situation extravaganza.
Right.
Even though she knows I'm deathly allergic to coconut.
What?
Every year.
So the first time she did it, you said, hey, Mom, allergic. And she said,
I've always been allergic.
Okay, but then why would she give it to you again?
I have no idea. My dad tells her every year, you know she's allergic to coconut. And she goes, no, she's not.
Your mom hates you. Your mom hates you. Yeah, she wants you
to... She's planning my death.
She just wants you to die.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Barbara, line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Barbara, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Yeah, I was 13, and my mom and dad were divorced. I lived with my mom, and my dad stole a bowling ball out of our garage, wrapped it up, and gave it to me. And it was a used bowling ball I had bought at a garage sale.
Okay, so wait a minute. The bowling ball that you got, you had purchased at a garage sale. And then he went into your mom's house at the time where he was not living and stole it and then wrapped it and then gave it to you.
Exactly.
That's and then pretty good.
My older brothers thought it was so funny that every year for birthday and Christmas, they would rewrap it and give it back.
They did the right thing.
Oh, my God.
They did the right thing.
That's awesome. That's hilarious.
That is really good. A stolen bowling ball that she bought for probably, what, 50 cents?
$5.
$5.
All right. Oh, okay. Hey, then quit your bitching. That's a pretty good gift. We'll talk MTV's Buried Life coming up. Plus, Ralph has another look at the Showbiz Beat in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your man Tom Cruise back in the news. Kevin, as you know, he is hard at work right now on Mission Impossible 4, which looks like it might be pretty awesome.
Sure.
Now there's talk that he'll be revisiting another of his great early movies, this one, Top Gun. Now that's a movie that to me is a time and place. I mean, that movie is the 80s. I never really expected that they would seriously talk about doing a sequel to that film.
Yeah, why rush into it so quickly, too, with it still in the theaters? No, but here's the thing about movies. One, sometimes they're amazing, and then you watch it 20 years later and you go, wow, that movie holds up. That's not this one.
This no, it's pretty dated.
This was really, really pretty huge at the time. And then, I don't know, 2 months later, everybody turned on it and went, wow, that movie sucks.
Well, first of all, it's incredibly gay when you watch it now. It's really, I mean, we all remember the shirtless volleyball scene, but sure. There are so many scenes in that movie which just seems like it's leading up to gay porn and then they just cut away before we actually see it. But, I mean, it's quite a pedigree for this Top Gun 2. I mean, producer Jerry Bruckheimer, who, of course, does, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean and everything else in the world. He's right. Probably the biggest producer in Hollywood. Director Tony Scott, first wow. rate. The guy they have writing it is Christopher McQuarrie, who's written lots of big movies, including The Usual Suspects. I mean, wow. it's an A-list pedigree here. And Tom Cruise, still a huge movie star, coming back for Top Gun 2. We wanted to find out more about this because we can't believe it's true. So we have Mr. Cruise on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom, welcome back, man.
I feel the need to speak.
Yes, you do. Tom, you still sound a little crazy. I don't know why. Ever since that famous Matt Lauer interview all those years ago, it seems like you're still just out. What? Yes, Tom. Yes.
Don't be glib.
I'm not trying to be glib. I'm just saying you still sound crazy every time we talk to you on the phone, but it's good to have you on.
Now, well, it's good to be on.
Now, Tom, are you starring in this?
No, I'll just be making a cameo appearance.
Okay. Well, where are you right now? It sounds like there's a...
I'm at Top Gun Training School.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get back into the character of Maverick, and so I'm revisiting the training academy where the Top Gun pilots are
training. All right.
Okay, so you would be quite a bit older, obviously, than the new fighter pilots that the movie would be focused on, and you would show up, what, as an instructor, or what would you do?
Of course, I would be returning as Maverick.
Right.
The crazed pilot who sometimes plays outside of the rules, plays by his own rules.
Yeah, you're dangerous.
He's an outlaw.
Can't be trusted.
I take the highway to the danger zone.
You do that, that's true.
And I would come back to give my experience and my... my wisdom to this next class of Top Gun pilots.
Okay. Would it be tough for you to revisit that world knowing that your dear friend and possible lover, the Iceman, is dead?
Iceman's not dead.
He's not dead.
No, he's just fat. That's fat. Val Kilmer was the Iceman in the movie.
Goose, oh, he's still alive. Okay.
Goose was the one who died.
Goose is dead. Edwards. I'm sorry. Okay.
And, the actor is still alive, right. Although his hair follicles have died. But I would be returning as Maverick.
Okay.
And I would be inviting all the young pilots into my cockpit. I would say, come into my cockpit and let me show you how it's done.
I'm not.
Let me show you how to handle the stick.
Wow.
When you're up in the air, and I would give them a lot of instructions in my cockpit. I would welcome them to my cockpit anytime.
I'm not a pilot, so I don't know for sure. But it seems like those jets really only have room for one pilot and maybe one guy behind him, and that's it.
Yeah, there's room for one guy behind me. Okay. That's for sure. Yeah, all right. I know. I'll always leave that space open. There'll be a vacancy behind me. But if you really try hard, you can squeeze two, three guys in a cockpit.
Is
sometimes.
That right?
That's
really?
What, that's
wow.
what I found.
Wow.
That's what I found in my personal life.
Okay. Even though, in your personal life? Or?
I love women.
Now, was the original intention of Top Gun, the first movie, to be as gay as it was, or did it just accidentally turn out that way? What?
I'm
just...
Yes?
I just... Right.
Don't be glib. There was nothing gay about Top Gun. It was a story about men and male bonding and shirtless volleyball.
What about the shirtless...
locker rooms? And aggression in locker rooms and testosterone in locker rooms.
Let's talk about the shirtless volleyball, because that really is just straight gay porn when you look at
it
now.
No, it is not. That Kevin,
body's glistening and the super close-ups and, you know, the slow-mo. Come on.
When you play volleyball in the sun, sometimes you get hot and you have to take your shirt off and you sweat. There's nothing nothing homoerotic about that. It's just a fact of nature. It's like a nature documentary.
Listen, I know that you're as heterosexual as any man alive.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate that.
Don't get me wrong about that because you sue.
Yes.
Right. But that was a pretty gay scene.
Well, maybe you're just reading into it. Maybe you would like it to be a gay scene. But I know for a fact it was not a gay scene.
Okay. All right. Well,
after
we're very
much shot it. That was the gay scene.
What? I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not clear today. I'm sorry. I got to read my e-meter.
Yeah, you better get back to the center. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave Lingwood, I want to say it is, one of the stars of The Buried Life on MTV, joins us in about 10 minutes or so. Did he really just go to Las Vegas and marry a girl he met after one day? Did that really just happen? That's part of his deal? Mm-hmm. Okay, good times. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to him coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the show biz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of marrying girls you just met.
Yeah.
Mad Men last night.
Season finale
of Mad Men last night was just insane.
Is that the picture of the girl you sent me, Bean?
Yes, that's her, Jessica Paré, our new favorite actress in the world.
She's great on that show, and the writing is just so amazing. And then they always set up the cliffhanger season finale for that just makes you just chomp at the bit for next season. Now we got to wait like a year and a half before it comes back.
Oh, is that one of those that takes forever?
It takes a long time.
I think June. June, I think it comes back. So, yeah, long time.
It's just bad.
They speed up a little.
But good stuff last night on Mad Men.
I was thinking last night as I was looking at my DVR and realizing that I had Dexter, Boardwalk Empire, and Mad Men, that I don't remember a time where there was one night of television that was such filled with quality as that one.
Oh, Dexter's good.
That's an unbelievable 1-2-3 punch right there.
What about the night on ABC that used to have Charlie's Angels, Fantasy Island, and The Love Boat all in the same night? Come on! Mm. How do you turn away from that evening of television?
I believe I'll take the 2010 edition.
I agree. Whatever. You don't have no quality television.
But the plane!
Get that every Friday night. It's awesome. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Jackass 3D in its debut did very well for itself. $50 million made it. So, Red, another debuting movie starring Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren, $22.5 million. The Social Network was third. Secretariat came in four. Life as We Know It was fifth. Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahooli were sixth. The Town, seven. My Soul to Take, the new Wes Craven 3D horror movie, came in at number eight. Easy A was ninth. And then 10, Wall Street and Money Never Sleeps. That rounds out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Katy Perry in the news.
Oh, yes.
You didn't have a chance to see it here in the United States of America, but she performed her latest single, Firework, live on the X Factor results show over there in the UK this weekend.
I like boobies.
She performed the song in a black cat suit.
All right.
Remember what a cat suit is, Kevin?
Is it like Catwoman?
That like that kind of thing. Yeah. It's a skin-tight, just clingy spandex sort of outfit.
Yeah.
And she looked dynamic. You can find that clip online if you want to check it out.
Oops.
But she's the real deal right there.
Yep.
That's good stuff. That Katy Perry.
Yes, she is.
Good. It is on!
What's on?
It is on between Nick Cannon and Chelsea Handler.
Oh, God. That's a race for the bottom.
Wow.
It is a feud. It's a Hollywood feud.
Come on, mutual destruction.
These two. Apparently, Nick Cannon has announced that he is going to be starting a comedy tour. He's going to be performing at a comedy tour.
Yes.
Nick Cannon is.
He certainly knows comedy.
To which Chelsea Handler tweeted, "I just heard Nick Cannon is starting a comedy tour. Who's going to do the comedy?"
Hey, how does she do it?
See, that's why she's got a second show on E! Now, because she is that funny.
What's her second show?
After Lately. She has Chelsea Lately, and then After Lately will be a sitcom about the makings of Chelsea Lately.
Stop using words and listen.
Not interested.
Sorry.
They're going to do a Larry Sanders-esque type behind-the-scenes sitcom about putting her show together. That's going to be another show on E!
This is inexplicable to
me. Her talent cannot be held back, Kevin. She must have more outlets for her comedic genius.
I don't get it.
Ralph, they name you God, and you can kill either Nick Cannon or Chelsea Lately. Which one do you take out?
Chelsea Handler or the show, Chelsea Lately?
Chelsea Handler, sorry. Chelsea Handler or Nick Cannon. You can only kill one of them.
Oh, Chelsea Handler's a puff of smoke the minute I'm anointed.
Oh, really?
The minute they give me those powers, she is struck. She is smote.
Maybe you can get Nick Cannon in the same area, and then he can get...
I mean, Nick is talentless, but he's sort of innocuous.
Right, right.
Chelsea Handler is aggressively bad. She's aggressively not funny. She
does seem easier to avoid Nick Cannon, too.
She is in-your-face horrible.
Right, but she has the added thing of really finding herself hilarious.
No one's a bigger Chelsea Handler fan.
Man, is she funny.
Woo! So she tweeted that, and then Nick tweeted back, "Wow, Chelsea Handler, I actually used to have respect for you as a comic." First of all, then he's got questionable taste out the door, right? But one artist to diss another in the same art form. Tasteless.
Well, at least he came back with something hilarious to prove that he was funny.
He went on with another tweet. As soon as I get off stage tonight, I'm going in on Chelsea Handler. I'm about to get relentless. Off with her head. But right now, I got to focus. So he does his show, apparently.
Wow.
Then gets off. And says, "Everyone knows Chelsea Handler had sex with the head of E! For her show. So when it gets canceled, does he get residual vagina for the reruns?" Use the P word.
Mm-hmm.
See what he did there?
I see what he tried to do there.
He tweeted later, "Chelsea Handler looks like she got hit in the face with a hot bag of nickels."
That's funny.
That's kind of funny.
Wow.
And then he tweeted after all those jokes, "Just jokes, people, LOL." Well, Chelsea Handler responded with a tweet to Nick Cannon.
Oh, I love this so much. This is why Twitter is good, because dumb people can just get out there and be dumb aggressively.
That's what we need. We need more access to dumb people.
I love that.
"Nick Cannon, please drink this before you tweet me again." And she responded with a photo of grape soda.
Uh-oh.
Now, when you use the grape soda joke in relation to an African-American,
right?
Mm-hmm. Usually they frown upon that sort of thing.
I wouldn't know.
Mike would have no idea about that. But I'm just saying, it is sort of a slap. It's kind of a racial slap.
But is it
to
funny?
To pull the grape soda card.
For her
card.
To say that to him?
It's not funny, no.
I don't know.
And she's dating 50 Cent, by the way.
She's not dating
She him. Is.
She isn't, though.
But she is.
But she's not.
Why do you say she's not?
She just isn't.
It's not.
It's not.
So what of all the photos of them hanging out together just and rumoring that they're banging?
She came out, Ralph, while you were off making your movie. And
she
said,
came out?
No. It said 50 and I just met to talk about a project. There's no romantic relationship that we're not dating.
Right, but then why are they hanging out, snuggling in bars and walking around sightseeing together? Is that what kind of project is this? They were on the Travel Channel? Is that where they're down in New Orleans? What, are you going to believe her saying that?
That's a good point. But it doesn't make any sense. But
I'm
still.
Just saying, after the grape soda joke, she may not want to go home to 50 Cent. That's all I'm saying.
It's not. Wow, she's just bad on every level, and so is he.
Nick Cannon, he hosts that America's Got Talent show.
Right.
Unbelievably, maybe the worst host on television.
Well, that's the only thing I've ever seen him do. And I could not believe that they gave that dude a show. He is horrible. He brings nothing.
Especially a show about talent.
If you pulled the cue cards, he would be mute. I firmly believe that he has nothing other than what he's reading off that teleprompter. But he seems sort of... sort of innocuously talentless. Right. He's just another one of those disposable people who isn't very good. But she's relentless.
Yeah.
Grape soda jokes. Who would dare? Who would dare, I ask?
That's stupid.
Also, it doesn't make much sense. Drink this before you tweet.
Hey, you're black. Ooh, you black guy. Here's some grape soda for you. So I'm just saying.
Dumb.
Death. I got a good other. Oh, I got so many good stories, but I wasted so much time with Chelsea Handler
rage. No, I needed it.
All right, an hour later, we'll talk about Tyra Banks. Speaking of rage.
Oh, yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays, legendary singer-guitarist, the father of rock and roll, Chuck Berry, is 84 years old today. I think he's still playing gigs, by the way.
Is he really?
Yeah, I think he is out on stage doing that duck walk and playing that guitar. Wow.
I just saw him at Hootenanny probably a month and a half ago, and he put together his band an hour before he went on stage.
Oh, really?
What are you talking about?
I'm dead serious. He gets there. He demands only cash, and then he says, "All right, now I need a bass player, a drummer, and a rhythm guitar player. Find me some." And the promoters have to gather it from other bands. And they
throw him out on stage.
That's weird.
And he goes home with a suitcase full of 20s.
Yep. Crazy.
Yeah. He's 84 years old today. Former NFL coach Mike Ditka, coach of the Chicago Bears for many years. Of course, now a popular analyst for, I think it's CBS he's on.
I don't remember.
With them. But whatever. He knows football. Remember Money? when we had Money on the show, of course, from Chicago, huge Chicago Bears fan.
Worshipped Mike Ditka.
And we had Ditka on the phone.
Yeah.
He was our sports guy. They had a conversation.
Money, you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
He's gone.
Darn.
He hung up.
That's so funny.
He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
Which makes it even better.
He's a better guy than we thought.
That was awesome.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Mike is 71 years old today. I heard him talking this morning, by the way. I don't know if you saw the hit that my boy Jackson, wide receiver for the Eagles, got yesterday. One of those head-on-head collisions where just both guys just go down for the count, carted off the field. You know, turns out they both have concussions. And Mike suggested, Ditka suggested, this is how tough this guy is, if you wanted to stop that kind of thing, take the face masks off of helmets. Make helmets less protective. And guys would use their heads less. They'd protect their own head, so they would pull their heads out of collisions and they wouldn't hit the other guy with a helmet. That's his suggestion, is to make the helmet's less safe. That's a football player right there. That's a suggestion.
He might be a little nutty.
Get those leather helmets back. Put a piece of leather on their heads and see if they lead with their heads.
Right.
He's got a point, man.
Get rid of seatbelts, too, and then people will drive safer.
That's true. Yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme is 50 years old today. Neo is 31 years old. Zac Efron celebrates his 23rd birthday. And Bristol Palin, who's dancing over there with the stars, she is 20 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, from the cast of The Buried Life, Monday nights at 10:30 on MTV, it's Dave. Dave, everybody. Hey, Dave.
How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, we're doing fine. I know we have some huge Buried Life fans that work here at this radio station. You know our friend Nicole. I think you've been on with her before.
Yeah, just absolutely.
Crazy for that show. But
I was supposed to meet her at the little Cypress Hill show the other night.
Smokeout? Oh, the Smokeout? Did you go to that?
Yeah, I was there. I went and kicked it with Damian Marley's little camp up there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
She's less than reliable.
I love her,
but she's less than reliable.
See, I was actually less reliable. I was passed out in a camper somewhere.
All right.
Yeah, I was embarrassed.
That's what you want at the Smokeout, though. I mean, really, that's
where
why you go.
A good nap. Yeah.
Were you filming anything for the TV show, or were you just there for fun?
I was just there for fun.
Okay. And the reason I have to ask Dave that is because his show, The Buried Life, he basically just dreams, he and the other guys on the show, just dream up stuff that they want to do and figure out a way to make it happen. And for all I knew, one of your things to do was rap on stage with Damian Marley. You know, I thought you could be there trying to make that dream come true.
It's going on the list. It's going on the list. Right. I was just happy to be on the stage at that point, though.
You have a list of 100 things you want to do before you die. And it's just 100, or do you have like a lot of backups?
No, the list is just emblematic for going after what you want in your life. It's just about going after what you're passionate about. And some of the things are, you know, pretty ridiculous that we put on the list. But it's really just trying to make an example to show that any of these things are possible to do. We started off the season this year with streaking soccer stadium and then asking out Taylor Swift, and then I got married in Vegas.
All right, slow down.
Right, hold on a second. One at a time here.
I apologize. What soccer
game did you streak at?
Kansas City Wizards.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm surprised, since you do a show for MTV, that they would let you do something that is illegal.
Well, MTV, we just give the episodes to MTV. They don't actually have anything to do with production. So we partnered with a production company here, and we actually just go and do everything kind of on our own, and then
they choose what to air,
edit it or air it or
we
whatever.
We're executive producers,
right.
So we do the editing and all that good stuff, and this kind of send the finished product to MTV.
That's a sweet deal, by the way.
Yeah,
that's awesome that you have that kind of control.
What's it like to run out on a field, though, in front of however many people were there, 12,000, 14,000?
Yeah, it was great. I don't know. Johnny was really nervous about it. Johnny was petrified of dropping trow and
sure.
And
well, most
the
people
field.
Would be, I think.
Yeah, I was actually, I was not too big.
Did you use a fluffer before you went?
I wanted to so badly. I was trying. I couldn't get any blood pressure. I'm telling you. It was completely
Don't
lit.
Tell us it was cold.
Oh, it wasn't cold. It was this.
It wasn't
so nervous.
Cold.
It was
so
terrible.
All four of you ran out naked under the field?
Yeah, it was supposed to be this Johnny because he was really afraid of it. But we saw Johnny go, and then Duncan and I were posing as security guards and decided that we were just going to go as well. And then Ben, who was posing as someone who worked there, and actually tackled Johnny, part of our master scheme to get out of this whole thing with unscathed.
I like it.
But he ended up getting naked and doing it as well. So,
so the naked guy tackled the other naked guy, and all of a sudden you've got a whole different thing going on.
You know, you have to see the episode. It's not, it's not that bad. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Look, I understand being a kid growing up in Canada going, wow, there's a big, wonderful world out there. There are a lot of things I'd like to do. But how do you parlay that into getting an actual television show where people will essentially pay you in order to go out and do these crazy things you want to do?
Well, we started this whole thing with a two-week road trip where we just took the end of the summer off our jobs and went out for this to try and do as many things as we could and help as many people as we could as well. And the media caught on to it. And we just kept on going through the process of putting web content out there, putting YouTube videos up. And 2.5 years later, we locked down a TV show with MTV.
Wow. And now, before we move on from soccer, you're going to be at the Galaxy game, signing autographs on October 24th.
Yeah, exactly. Come out to the Galaxy game.
Are you going to be clothed?
Yes, okay, they are. They were very clear that they did not want to streak in that one. So we're going to keep it
stuff,
under control.
But you have to use a pen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But
The Buried Life is the name of the show. We're talking to Dave, one of the madcap actors on the show. It airs
Monday
nights.
A madcap actor?
I would not. I would consider myself just kicking it real hardcore.
It airs Monday nights at 10:30 on MTV. When we come back, we need to talk some more about you going to Las Vegas and marrying a girl that you'd met in about, I don't know, how long did you know her? About 10 hours when you married her?
24, actually.
24. Oh, 24, wow.
So plenty of time.
Exactly.
And wait till you hear, because we have the audio from that episode, wait till you hear Dave's proposal. It may spawn a phone topic of the worst marriage proposal of all time.
He's a smooth mother effer. I'll tell you that.
Goodness. But we need to hear all about that when we return. The Buried Life, Monday nights, that's tonight at 10:30 on MTV. We'll be right back on the Kevin. Dave is our guest from MTV's The Buried Life, which airs Monday nights. That's tonight at 10:30 on MTV. Hey, put on your list, find the guy who still likes that song by Blind Melon.
That'd be pretty cool for you to go out.
Part of your Hot 100. The concept of The Buried Life is like the movie The Bucket List from a few years ago with Morgan Freeman, except these are young dudes. These are guys in their 20s who go, hey, I don't want to let my life get away from me without doing cool stuff. And we should also mention the other part, the boring part of the show, is where you make regular people's dreams come true, too. It's much more fun to see you guys trying to date Taylor Swift and Megan Fox than it is to see, you know, some old woman reunite with her daughter. Who cares about that?
But it's a beautiful thing.
You do give a little something back to the people, too. It's not all about making you guys happy. You try to share the love a little bit, too. Am I right?
Indeed.
Now, when we left, we were talking about getting married in Vegas, and you met a girl, and 24 hours later, you proposed.
Yes.
All right. Now, we have the proposal. We haven't edited this.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed right
and
now.
And it's not the smoothest thing that's ever been said.
Oh, my God.
Now, before you hit it, though, Kevin, I have to ask Dave, why was that on the list? Who wants to go to Las Vegas and marry a stranger?
It's been on my list for a long time. I think it's just the act of it's the most spontaneous thing you can do.
Right.
And it's just
with the biggest consequences.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
You could kill someone. So, I mean, if that's what you're looking for.
let's see how smooth Dave is, because every woman listening is going to melt when you hear the rap that he laid on her.
Here we go.
I think, sometimes in life, listen to that, you base things on experiences. Mm-hmm. Life is just experiences. And so I would like to share an experience with you.
Experiences. Like what?
All right, stop talking, dude. I want people to know this is the clip. Here we
go. He's trying to save it.
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, what I'm asking you is, will you marry me? Even more so, I think it's this about talking to you. You said you were spontaneous. And I would consider myself spontaneous as well. And I think we would be able to share an amazing experience wedding.
Oh my God.
I do have a ring.
Nuh-uh.
So it's a work in progress.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. So, Michelle, will you marry me?
Yes.
Ah! Oh! I was so hoping she'd say no.
It's that reaction at the end of it, my little that really killed me.
There's a lot of things in there that should kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wrong.
You're right.
Why did she say yes? Why didn't she look at you and go, you're retarded? No.
We had a great night before, shared a lot of experiences.
She need alcohol, is what you mean.
Go back and rehearse, and then let's try it again in an hour.
that was bad.
That was awesome.
How did you meet her? Where did you meet her?
I met her at a pool. She was a lifeguard. So I
Hard Rock?
Yeah, that's right.
Rehab?
Yes.
Nice.
Indeed. So
nice.
I faked around, Sandlot style.
Very nice.
And got her number when she came and saved me. And we went out that night. And the next day, I popped the question.
And you didn't pop it as much as you just
kind of slowly
it was slowly unrolled.
It was like letting air out of a tire over 20,000 miles is what it was.
It was bad.
And you guys did go on to marry that day.
Yes. Yes.
And you're still married.
Yeah, it's been four months now.
Really?
And yeah, where is she now? You're not living together.
She's in Vegas still. We're doing long distance.
She's still at Spearmint Rhino.
She is a great dancer.
Right. Sure. Because good lap dances.
Okay, but
now you're not really married.
Yeah, she is.
I know, but
I am telling the truth. She is moving down to LA in the new year.
To be with you?
What?
Yeah.
For reals?
Well, she's going to school. She's transferring schools down here, but it's this kind of worked out.
Which rhino is she going to work down here?
We're going to work it out. We're looking at a couple options.
But you're not serious.
Yeah.
Are you going to live together when she moves to Southern California?
No, one step at a time. Come on.
Sure.
First you get married, then you worry about getting to know each other.
The first step is the most serious, and then you back up and start taking them slowly.
Get married so you can start dating kids.
Right. That's how you do
Dave, it. Dave, how was that phone call home? Because I know that when I eloped to Las Vegas, and I at least knew my girlfriend at the time 5 months before we got married, that still was a shocking call home. What was it like to you to call your folks and go, hey, I married this chick that I just met this weekend?
Yeah, my mom was pissed.
Yeah.
She was not happy.
Yeah, of course.
Even knowing what you're doing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
she
was not happy with this one.
Yeah.
And it took her a few months, to tell you the truth. But she's come around to the idea, and she's taking my phone calls again, which is nice.
I hate to ask, but did you think about the possible financial troubles you might get into if this doesn't work out?
Dude, she works at the Rhino. She's rich.
She doesn't work at the Rhino, Kevin. You made that up.
You're developing your career, and you know, you're a charismatic guy. You might start making some serious bread soon. It's like, and then you have to carve that up with some girl that you married as a stunt?
Well, first of all, thank you for calling me charismatic. That was the compliment I needed all morning.
Well, especially after that clip.
And, God. And we got that all worked out with her.
Okay. All prenup. I'll tell you. But you got to have sex though after you guys got married in Las Vegas, right? She's your wife, man. You're not talking out of school here.
That's no, by the way.
That's
the guy says
that's true.
That's a no.
It's true.
It's true. Wow. Yes or it's true? No.
Well, you know, we did it how anyone else would do it, in a beautiful honeymoon at EDC.
Wow.
Okay. All right. What happens on tonight's Buried Life 10:30 MTV, Dave?
We are catching a fugitive. We're going out in East LA to there's a clause right now in the LA legal system that says that anyone can be a bounty hunter as long as they kind of as long as they I don't even know. I guess you can just be a bounty hunter. That's the clause that kind of was enabled us to do it. So we go out and
you got with a bounty hunter, or you just do it yourself?
Yeah, we got trained by these bounty hunters and they were kind of tagging along and we did our best to catch some guy. It's probably the sketchiest thing we did all season.
Saying something.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I got to dress up like Doug the Bounty Hunter. It was beautiful.
Right.
And then in November, we find out the thrilling conclusion about your castmate who asked Taylor Swift out on a date, right, at the country music show. We find out whether that date actually happened coming up in a couple weeks.
Exactly.
Right?
We're thinking about doing a live special.
Now, don't you have you also help somebody local with their dream?
Yeah. So
right, my dream is to have sex with every girl from Victoria's Secret.
Okay.
Can you help make that happen?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We can help. No. We can. It's going to be.
Let's work
on that. Take a while.
That's my only thing on the list.
No, I think it's a great item, and I will help you. I'm taking it on right now. I'm going to say I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to do my best.
All right.
Yeah.
The Buried Life airs tonight at 10:30 on MTV. And Kevin, where's Dave going to be tonight?
He is going. It's not tonight. It's going to be. Is it tonight? No, it's October 24th.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to be at the Galaxy game, and you're going to be signing autographs. How can people find you there?
You can on our Facebook, Facebook.com/TBL, we'll post all the information there, and also on our Twitter at The Buried Life.
Fantastic.
Hit us up there.
There you go.
Dave, congratulations on the show, man. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
KROQ, and it is 7:43.
A lot of reasons for you to check out KevinandBean.com every day, not the least of which is today. Tremendous traffic on the picture of my bug that we posted earlier today, the birthday gift that I got from my wife. I took a lot of heat from the guys. But just so you know, Kevin, 64% of those polled this morning say great gift, very thoughtful. Only 34%
wasting time with a poll on that.
Only 37% say it's a lame gift. She only pretended to like it. But if you want to see the bug and see the story behind it, you can do that. You can also check out Kevin as he is doing the continuation of his top 10. Is it natural breasts of all time? Is that what it is?
It's top 10 amazing real breasts.
Sofia Vergara today, by the way, and I think we're halfway through at number 5. Unbelievable. Yes. That photo of Sofia Vergara at KevinandBean.com is one of the best I've ever seen of her.
It's National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we're covering that, but mainly just by focusing on good breasts.
So you're doing your part. Right. This counts as some sort of community service for you?
Did 10 through 6 last week. Now I'm on 5 through 1 this week.
And the other reason to go to KevinandBean.com is you hear us talk about the Internet Roundup, where we're putting up videos all throughout the week of the best stuff that's going around on the Internet. And one of the videos that you can find in the recent edition of Internet Roundup is the Shaka Roan song, which has just, even though it's 4 years old, brand new to us and to many of our listeners, and we can't get enough of this dude.
This dude sings, but then he starts doing just gibberish, and apparently he did it originally because he didn't have any lyrics. So it was just a placeholder for real lyrics. And then when he thought of real lyrics, he was going to replace it. But it ended up sounding funny enough that he just put it out. And it's really unbelievable. You have to listen to this. By the way, this is not the bad part that you can't understand. This is the good part that you can understand. Here it comes. Okay. Now, what the hell?
I don't know, but it's awesome.
It is the best, and it'll get stuck in your head, too. Someone like me is I don't remember lyrics, but I can remember this.
Oh, this is great. I did happen to be a couple times this weekend, by the way, where I found myself just out of the blue. So we started playing that.
This exists. This is real.
That is real. People out there, by the way, spending 100 hours crafting their lyrics perfectly to try to make the song meaningful to somebody. And then this guy comes out and sells like 2 million copies of the Shaka Roan. So that's El Chumbo. That's Shaka Roan. So then once we started playing clips from it here on the Kevin and Bean Show, then we started hearing from all sorts of people weighing in with their opinions as to what song the guy was essentially ripping off, right?
That sounds just like such and such. And Omar is a DJ extraordinaire, so we told him to see if he could mash the two songs together. The first one, I think you'll recognize. That's pretty good, by the way.
DJ Omar Khan.
It does sound a lot like Milkshake, you're right.
And then some listeners said, what about the Spice Girls?
DJ Omar Khan.
Yes,
it does.
And then people said, what about with that, without me, Eminem?
DJ Omar Khan.
Those are all great. And
it
then
does sound like it, yeah.
Bean, DJ Omar Khan came up with a mashup that I believe you will give him a bonus for.
Okay. Version of Shaka Roan.
DJ Omar Khan.
Awesome. If you thought that he could put those two together, if they said, would you bet on it? You go, no way.
Well done.
That's DJ Omar Khan, and that's Shaka Roan.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:55.
Chris Hardwick is here. He joins us coming up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Why? What's so funny? What's going on?
No, don't worry about it. It's not funny.
Ralph, did you make it out to see Jackass 3D this weekend?
I did not make it out this weekend, period.
Best movie ever?
So I didn't see Red, which I really wanted to see even more than Jackass.
That was
3D.
Great.
But I got out only a little bit this weekend, did not get to see any movies.
I was on my way to see Jackass 3.
Don't even say it.
Stop I was. It. And I checked my Twitter feed, and Mr. Movie Phone, our friend Russ Leatherman, tweeted something about how they drink bodily fluids and get covered in feces.
But
and I looked around, and it was Sunday morning, and it was like 9 a.m., and I thought, I just don't know that I'm in the right mind
see,
space
here's
to
the
see
thing
somebody
about
drinking
that.
Human fluids right now.
Here's the thing about that, and there's been a lot made about how gross this movie is. Look,
yes,
96%
me.
Of this movie is just wacky, funny. These guys screwing with each other and you laughing your ass off.
That's the Jackass I love.
There's 4 or 5% that is super gross,
right.
Super easy just to cover your eyes or whatever. It's not overwhelmingly you're going to feel like you have to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
isn't
been
that
exaggerated
like saying,
greatly.
Isn't that like saying it was a great date until he shot me?
No.
I mean, really, that's kind of it's a lingering no. effect, though, isn't it?
You come away from that movie thinking that was funny as hell.
I was enjoying my meal until I saw the turd in my salad.
No,
that's what
exactly.
you're saying, basically.
Yes, yeah. exactly.
I'm
that's
telling
my fear.
You, it's a small percentage of the movie.
Well, apparently I
it's
was
memorable.
Alone.
In, don't get me wrong, but it's small.
In not going, Ralph and I were the only two on the outside looking in because Jackass 3D really came through this weekend, huh?
Sure did. $50 million it made at the box office this weekend, followed by the other movie I really wanted to see, Red, in its debut, made $22.5 million. The Social Network continues to be a box office juggernaut, made another $11 million this weekend, good enough to make it number three. Secretariat came in fourth. I guess that's not even win, place, or show, really, is it?
See?
Oh!
Horse racing comedy.
$9.5 million. Life as We Know It was fifth, then The Legends of the Guardians, that Al movie. Seventh was The Town, My Soul to Take, Easy A, and Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. Rounds out the top 10 of the box office this weekend. I promised you an hour ago Tyra Banks news, and I have it. Apparently, a Georgia woman is suing Tyra Banks for $3 million.
Good. I hope she wins.
I hope she gets awarded.
Kevin, you didn't even care 10 times
that amount.
I don't even know what the suit's about. No.
When you hear what the suit's about, Kevin, you will not only endorse this lawsuit, but you will probably kick in like I am for the actual legal cost to sue Tyra Banks.
I like it.
Turns out Tyra did a show on her little talk show there about teenage sex addicts.
Right.
Now, there was a 15-year-old girl who corresponded with the Tyra Banks production company regarding appearing on that show. She apparently responded to a request on the show's website seeking teenage sex addicts. So this 15-year-old girl responds, and they contact her, and they love her story. So they pick her up from her home in Georgia in a limo and fly her to New York, where she was put up in a hotel and appeared on the show. Here's the problem. All this was done without her mother's knowledge.
Oh, yeah. No.
Never bothered to get mom to sign off. Never informed mom what was going on.
And she's 15.
Mom finds out about this when she sees the Tyra Banks show.
Oh, giddy up.
So mom is suing Tyra Banks for $3 million, saying that they took advantage of my daughter without my permission, who was a
I'm
minor.
I'm not going to copy that.
All right. So
she's got a suit.
Tyra Banks should be put to death, is what I'm saying.
I know you guys hate the Tyra Banks talk show, but I'm telling you, in a world of Wendy Williams, Tyra Banks doesn't look that bad.
Nope. Doesn't help.
I'm just saying $3 million will not help this mother's pain and suffering, what she's been through.
Right.
I think only throwing the switch on Tyra Banks in an electric chair will actually give her the closure she needs.
I think that's fair.
And I think that's what we should recommend to the jury. Death.
I know there are 5 women on my stage, but between them, they have 10 vaginas.
Oh, I'm going to miss it.
God damn her.
She's so bad.
She's so horrible. Sean Connery's in trouble with the courts.
Yes.
Apparently, a Spanish court demanded Sir Sean Connery show up so he could be deposed and give evidence about a land deal gone awry in Spain. He was a no-show.
Uh-oh.
In that Spanish court, and apparently that can lead to an international arrest warrant for Sir Sean Connery.
Wow.
Connery did not show up in court. Now, he did contact the court via fax and say he didn't have time to prepare for the long journey to Spain from his home in the Bahamas, but the magistrate there still has the right to issue an international arrest warrant for his non-appearance in court should he choose to. Apparently, the whole case stems over some land Connery owned in Spain, then sold off, and that was developed, and it was developed illegally, and they need him to show up so they can try to get to the bottom of the case. But
so he's not even the one in trouble?
No.
Oh.
It was his land that was developed, and they need to talk to him about the zoning registration. Apparently, it was too many apartments were built or something on this property that used to be his estate, and so they need him to testify in court.
That's weird.
There
that
was a court order that it's like a bench warrant. He was subpoenaed to show up in court. He flaunted and ignored that order, so they could put a warrant out for his arrest to bring him in.
He was at one time James Bond. Do they know that?
That's what I'm saying. I think you arrest Sean Connery at your own peril, frankly.
Right.
But they said they might go to the Bahamas to interview him.
Okay.
If he can't make it to court. He's an 80-year-old man now. Perhaps he can't make that
out
trip,
by the pool.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
See, I'm telling you, that's not going to be a good time. Whoever pulls that duty will not enjoy their deposition with Mr. Connor.
Sean can be surly. We've learned that over the years.
All I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, guitarist, rock legend Chuck Berry. He's 84 years old today. We talked about it earlier, but I think it's amazing that the dude, he's 84 years old, so obviously he's lived a long time, has no trust in banks or contracts or checks or promoters, so he demands to be paid with a suitcase full of cash every time he performs.
That seems not very safe.
When he shows up,
you know,
you open the suitcase, he looks in there, he counts the money, he says, all right, now I'll go on, and he goes on and he does his thing.
And I love that he won't even meet his backing band before he gets on stage. And he says, look, if they can't play Chuck Berry music, they don't deserve to be in a rock band.
That's
so
true.
Just go with it.
Any garage band really can play that.
He's a weirdo.
But he's the man. 84 years old. Dawn Wells, who played Marianne on Gilligan's Island. Remember the legendary Marianne and Ginger debate? Why do you say an F you to Marianne? She was hot.
She makes the cut on celebrity birthdays?
That's a good question.
Marianne, a pretty famous character from television, I would think. She's 72 years
old. Kevin and I have been to her home.
I'm sorry, what happened?
We've been to Don Wells' house.
I don't remember that at all.
I do not remember meeting Marianne.
We went to her house.
I remember Professor. we had to take a car from the airport.
We have partied with the Professor. We have also partied with Gilligan.
I did pick up the Professor at the airport in my car, and then I tried to sell it as the Professor Mobile. I tried to get more money because the Professor had been in it, and it didn't work.
Damn you.
Didn't work.
Neo is 31 years old today. Actress Frida Pinto from Slumdog Millionaire is 26 years old today. Zac Efron celebrates his 23rd birthday.
Stop it.
Stop that. Seriously. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. The host of Web Soup joins us in studio now. Funny man Chris Hardwick is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Greetings,
hey, Chris.
Kevin.
How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Chris is going to be live on stage in Southern California next Thursday, October 21st through Sunday, October 24th. So several big nights in a row at the Brea Improv, improv.com.
Yes,
people
sir.
Might be surprised to find out that you actually have a stand-up act because they kind of know you from your wacky internet stuff and TV stuff,
I do a lot of wacky TV and internet stuff. It's funny because stand-up is pretty much the thing that I've been doing forever. And so I always assume like, oh, everyone knows I'm a comic, and then they don't. And they're like, you do stand-up? And I'm like, yeah, and there's jokes and a microphone. And so it's nice when people actually
hold
come
it.
Out.
Hold it, hold show. It.
Wait.
Is there laughter?
Yes, there
okay.
is.
All right.
There
good.
Is.
It's checking.
Yeah.
Because that's an important part of the stand-up
it
experience.
Is. That is an excellent part of the formula to mix in.
All right.
Otherwise, it's not so much fun, it turns out. When you hear the random cough in the audience.
I don't know who your booker is, but I do follow your Twitter feed. By the way, Chris Hardwick is Nerdist, is his name at Twitter. And he's one of those guys that we know that has over a million followers, which is just crazy to me that every time you type something stupid on your phone, 1.3 million people are going to see it.
Yeah, that is a weird sort of a metric. I mean, I don't know if it's actually a million people actually seeing it every time I write something. But yeah, I guess the thought of...
Excuse me just for a second.
Sure.
How dare you, Bean, accuse somebody of typing something stupid?
I didn't say he typed something stupid, but I know when we talked to Dr. Drew about this, he is in a little bit, he's paralyzed a little bit by how many followers he has because he doesn't want to waste that many people's time.
Yeah.
You don't strike me as a guy who worries about that, though, Chris.
No, I don't, because, you know, Drew can't type stuff I type, like, diarrhea is the jazz of poop. Like, he can't type that. Can type that, but Drew can't type that because he's got to help people. Right. I just have to make poop and vagina jokes, and then that's it.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
And then I'm set. And then I need to tell people about, you know, every once in a while about technology that's coming out. And then, but besides that, it's mostly vagina jokes.
You lose me sometimes, because I do listen to your podcast from time to time, when you talk about the old days of technology. Let's face it, everybody has a computer now. It's part of life. You can't really survive in the 21st century without a computer. Nerd culture has absolutely taken over. You were a guy who was one of those almost, you know, building them out of spare parts you could find in the silverware drawer back in the day. I had no idea how far back you go with technology.
Yeah, I got my first computer in 1981. It was a Tandy, a Radio Shack TRS-80 computer, and you really couldn't do anything much. I mean, like, you had to kind of program it.
Those of you that are between, say, the ages of 15 and 25.
They have no clue.
Right. I mean, the internet really just started just before you were born. I mean, really, just barely. Maybe.
When I used to work at K-Rock with you guys, like, we had just gotten computers and everyone had just gotten an AOL account.
Yeah, and, right. And none of it worked.
None of it.
If I remember correctly.
None of it worked.
Yeah.
Except for one time I was chatting during the morning show. It was like 1995. I was chatting with someone on AOL. Mm-hmm. I stepped away for a second and came back and realized that Jimmy Kimmel, who was on your show at the time, had this intense sex chat as me with this girl that I was friends with, and she went for it, and it was a really awkward situation.
So did you follow through?
No.
Come
on. No, we were just friends, and I had to be like, you have been punked before punked was a thing.
Yeah.
And that was not me.
That's thing one that you learn around here is you don't leave your email up.
Never.
You don't leave your Facebook up.
Page. Nope.
You don't leave anything up like that because whoever sees it will sit down and write incredibly offensive stuff.
I have to admire the Kevin and Bean show, even in 1995, way ahead of the curve on cyberbullying. Way ahead of the curve.
Chris, why did you want and what did you do with a computer in 1981? Because you must have been a young person. What was your plan at that point?
I just knew that it was shiny and digital, and I wanted to put my hands on it. I mean, it was really the TRS-80 was just like a one piece terminal, you know, and so there really wasn't much to do. There was a cassette that you would attach to it, and that's how you loaded up. You know, like used cassette tapes.
The internet was worthless before porn.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it.
It really was. It was just all text porn, and you had to make boobs out of semicolons and vaginas out of parentheses, closed parentheses.
Well, that's not very hot.
Really. Well, but at the time it was.
Sure.
Are you one of those guys who gets to, because of the kind of podcasts you do and your TV shows too, you get to see some of the technology ahead of time?
I do see a lot of stuff because of Attack of the Show, because I get to play with stuff on that show. So I do see stuff like right before or right as it comes out. I go to a lot of the Apple announcements, which is always fun to see Steve Jobs up there yelling at people in a turtleneck to turn off all their Wi-Fi because it's interfering with his device on stage.
That was embarrassing.
I was there. I was there for that. I was like fourth row. I feel like it was a concert. I was fourth row for Jobs, Moscone Center. It was incredible.
Do you still love it? Do you still get turned on by gadgets?
Yes, of course. Although, at a certain point, it gets harder to review phones because phones pretty much do the same thing. They all do the same thing. So you can, you know, you pick it up, you play with it, you see how fast it is, what kind of operating system it is, and that's pretty much it. So
but
I'm
at
not
least there's
10
new ones a day.
There are 10 new ones a day. There are 10 new ones
Got
a day.
For you. All right, Chris Hardwick is here. The Improv next Thursday, the 21st through Sunday, the 24th. And his website is Nerdist.com, and we'll be right.
Speaking of that band Neon Trees here on the Kevin and Bean Show, they're going to be live in our studio next week performing that song and hopefully some others, so definitely come on back for that. I love that album, by the way. Not just that song, the whole album's great. Chris Hardwick is here. He is the Nerdist. That's his website and his Twitter, and he's doing some stand-up at the Brea Improv Thursday through Sunday, I want to say, 21st through the 24th. Go to improv.com to get tickets. He is also the host of Web Soup. By the way, any competition? You and Tosh, you guys go at each other? Because you're kind of covering the same turf there on the basic cable.
There's like 9 shows that are covering the same area. I think cable just sort of figured out like, oh, the soup formula is an inexpensive, easy way to make television programming. But I, you know, Daniel's doing an awesome job on his show, and I just feel like there's enough room on the 500 channels of cable television for all of us.
There's certainly enough on the internet.
This is the golden age of internet with in terms of videos and how fast they become popular. I mean, you look at something like the Antoine Dodson, that it just exploded and became part of everyone's consciousness in the matter of a few days. He's the Hide Your Wife, Hide Your Kids guys, mm-hmm. for folks who yep. don't recognize the names. And the Double Rainbow guy, and there's just so many of them. They come out so fast and furious. It's hard to keep up with them all, but is there one that's underrepresented in your mind, something that you've seen lately that you just love that deserves a wider audience?
Well, you know, I always go back to cake farts. Yeah. I'm sure you guys have seen cake farts.
I haven't seen that one.
I don't think I have.
But it sounds like something I need to see.
It's not new, but a lady.
But it's your greatest hit. It's the one you put on the most when you're in the mood.
it's fascinating because I had no idea that it was a thing. But a lady takes her pants off. It's NSFW, by the way.
Okay,
it is not
all right.
safe for work. But a lady takes off her pants and she squats on a chocolate cake, and then the camera pans in on her backdoor business and she farts in the camera. And I don't know if you've ever actually seen the mechanics of a fart, but it looks like something out of Dune. It is remarkably fascinating. It's horrifying. And
it
you'll never
sounds
be able,
horrifying.
Yes, you will never be able to erase it from your
Why
brain
is she farting on a cake?
I don't know.
Comedy.
Yeah, and then it says something at the bottom like, visit our sister site, Lasagna Farts. And it's like, there's tons of food fart sites.
Is that a fetish?
It apparently is. Any fetish you have, there's a million times worse one, thanks to the web.
Food farting.
Do
they then serve the lasagna to unsuspecting customers? I mean, is that
the draw? That would probably be a whole other fetish. That would probably be an entire other fetish. No, at this point, the cake is destroyed by ass meat, and it's not. You can't eat it.
They need that Jackass 3D super slow-mo 1,000 frames a second, whatever it is, camera for the fart cam. That's what they need.
I think when Cake Fart starts getting those $80 million budgets that it deserves, then we can do...
Oh, my God.
You can do, like, the Matrix shot and just put, like, 100 high-speed cameras in a circle and... watch it happen.
I regret talking to you today, Chris.
No, it's good.
Because now I'm strangely drawn to find the Kate Fart video, and then I know once I see it, I can't unsee it. So.
We slowly ruined Bean. In the beginning, he would not even use the word fart. Like, it really drove
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fart.
It's a terrible word.
It's a great word. But
it's a terrible thing.
We've slowly ruined him in that now he'll hear it and he'll think, I won't enjoy that. But
right.
he'll have to go see it.
That's the beauty of the internet.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of the beauty of the internet, the photo that you tweeted last night about blew my mind because it's you and your partner in the Hard and Firm band, which is you guys do very, very funny songs.
Oh, thanks, man. Mike Furman, yes.
And you two are in a studio, it looks like.
Yes.
Getting ready to sing into a microphone. And the man between you in the photo is the great Weird Al.
Yes.
What is that about? Now, what's going on with you and Al?
Some context first for those that don't know Bean. It's one of Bean's top three favorite celebrities of all time.
Because
that's
he's the best.
Not a joke.
Mine
because
too.
Because he's godlike.
Right. Mine too. I have, and what's interesting and what's so incredible about Al is that, and it's just about how he's managed to stay relevant because all these young comics that were huge Al fans are now incorporating him into stuff. Al and I became friends a couple years ago. I put him in everything I worked on last year. I got him on WebSoup a couple times. I got him in Halloween 2. I got him on the cartoon I do for Nickelodeon.
Because who fits in Halloween 2 more than Al?
Because Rob Zombie called and he was like, hey, I want you to, you're going to be in Halloween 2 and you're going to have a talk show. I need another guest to make fun of Loomis's character. Who do you know? And I was like, what about Weird Al? He's like, you have to call him. So I did, and he was in it. And he is the nicest, coolest guy in the world. And we were recording a Christmas song for Comedy Death Ray. Comedy Death Ray is a big comedy show in L.A. at UCB Theater, and he puts out a Christmas album every year.
Oh, no one loves Christmas music more than I do. It's Weird Al, and it's Christmas.
Yes, yes.
Hey, take it
dude. Is this his follow-up to his immortal all-time holiday classic, Santa's Gone Crazy?
It was not. It was not. We were covering a. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but it was a. We Are the World.
You're covering We Are the World.
Maybe we were.
Okay.
Wow.
He also has the great Christmas at Ground Zero, which is another one
of
my all-time
favorites.
Christmas at Ground Zero,
I love Weird Al so much.
And when he used to do Al TV on MTV, like he said they would literally just go, all right, go make 4 hours of programming and give us the tapes. Like there were no notes. He used to just have to fill all that time with Harvey the Wonder Hamster. I could nerd out about Al all day. I love the guy. He's one of my favorite human beings.
Yeah. Kevin and I have been to his house, by the way.
Did you ride the Segway?
What?
No, this was pre-Segway.
This was pre-Segway.
This was pre-Segway time.
If you go to his house now, he's got a Segway, and then the first time you go over, you got to do a lap around his house. And maybe Furman and I touched his Eat It Grammy when he was out of the room. Maybe that happens.
Oh, that's awesome.
Maybe that happens.
When you ride the Segway at Weird Al's house, you must feel like you are, in fact, white and nerdy, right?
Oh, yeah, wow. Yes, I do.
Wow.
See, Kevin, he wrote that in the video.
I got it.
All right, we're out of time. The Brea Improv is where it's going down with Chris Hardwick on stage. Yes, it's that Chris Hardwick from TV, but he also does stand-up.
It's true.
Thursday, October 21st
it's
through Sunday, October 24th.
Please come out.
Well, we'll see. We'll be the judge of that.
You're not going to come to the show because there will be people there. You don't like being around people.
You have to let other people say it's not sucky. You can't say that about yourself.
No, right, but go see the show and then call us and let us know. That's what we're saying. Right. Chris, great to see you again, man. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, man.
All right, party people, Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show means we catch up with our friends at TMZ.com. Dax Holt joins us. Hey, Dax, man, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was good, you guys. How are all you guys doing?
Very good, thank
you. Yeah.
Good to talk to you. By the way, nothing was funnier than the a couple weeks ago when somebody snapped a picture of Harvey getting pulled over, getting a traffic ticket.
That was good.
Best thing to catch your boss out getting a ticket.
Yeah.
I just love so much that you guys put that up on the site. It just cracks me up. Anyway, I imagine everybody in the TMZ newsroom today is buzzing about Justin Bieber. He doesn't usually, he's famous and he's popular, but there's not usually too much controversy. But people may not have heard what went down with him recently.
Well, when it comes to guns and laser tag and homophobic slurs, he actually makes news pretty well.
He's all about it.
But over the weekend, he was out playing laser tag in Canada, and I guess some kid just kept repeatedly shooting him, and cornered him in this laser tag room, and basically Justin's like, dude, I got it, I'm done, you got me out, all right? And the kid dropped the F word, the homophobic slur F word, and that's when things got nasty.
Yeah.
So what happened? Was there a fight?
Well, what happened is the kid put his arm up, Justin kind of like whacked it down and walked out of there, and the kid's dad then called the cops and said that Justin attacked his kid, and there was violence and all this stuff. It kept saying, I'm a lawyer, which is Harvey's tagline,
sure.
Not this dad.
right.
And next thing you know, the cops are investigating the whole thing, and they're saying, look, this is not Justin's fault. He didn't incite this kid. He just literally wanted to get out of the situation. So now Justin's saying, I'm going to do one of these anti-bullying campaign videos like all the other celebrities have been doing lately because now he's affected by it.
Look, no one should be called that word.
Agreed.
Except for Justin Bieber. We should be giving that kid some kind of an award, shouldn't we? Come on.
You know, we'll never know exactly what happened, but I have a couple of thoughts on this, Dax. First of all, if it hadn't been Justin Bieber that pushed the kid's arm down, there's no way the dad would be threatening to sue or start an investigation. They're looking for some sort of a payout because there happened to be a famous rich person involved, right?
Of course.
Okay.
And, like, it's over laser tag, you guys. Give me a break here.
Yeah, nobody got hurt. And the other thing I'm gonna say here is, look, I know he has chosen this as his career, and he kind of gives up a certain amount of privacy. But that's pretty crazy for Justin Bieber to go out to a public laser tag place and expect not to be hassled, as famous as he is.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got a huge bodyguard. So, I mean, he's kind of a walking target when you got a bodyguard following you around.
Yeah, I love it. I love it in laser tag when somebody is stalking you and they just keep shooting you. And you can't do anything about it. It's no fun. I love that kid. Sorry.
This anti-bullying thing, because of some very serious, heartbreaking stuff that has been in the news recently, has really kind of hit the tipping point as being like the hot issue in America right now.
And really, I mean, tons of celebrities are stepping in, doing videos, talking about it. I mean, people are, you know, taking this really seriously.
And they should, except for Justin Bieber.
It's not even fun to be a dick anymore if you can't bully weak kids around. I mean, what's the point of that? All right, let's move on. I got to be honest, Dax. I have not been able to keep up with the furious pace that you are posting these Mel Gibson and Oksana, his baby mama posts. I don't even know what's going on. I just know it seems to involve a lot of lawyers. What are they fighting about right now? Where are we?
The thing is, we put up a post over the weekend saying that Oksana has 39 lawyers working for her right now.
39?
Oh, 39 lawyers. And Lisa Bloom is her newest lawyer, and she fired back. She's like, oh, come on, you guys. We don't have that many people working for us. Mel Gibson has 450 lawyers on his side fighting against this poor woman.
450? You know, what are they talking about? Like a whole firm or something?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, the whole thing, I'm just so over Mel and Oksana. I got to be honest. Working here, I'm just like, oh, enough with it already. But can I do another story that I'm really excited about?
Sure, sure.
That I think you guys will love?
Sure.
Basically, you know the Real Housewives of New Jersey?
Yep.
Yes.
Worst show on TV. Basically, there
oh,
is
Oh, how dare you.
You're forgetting about the Bad Girls
the Bad
Club.
Girls
Come
Club.
On. Come on now.
There is a tour that they have started up. It's a huge bus, and it drives all around New Jersey. It's 7 hours. You pay $95. You get to go to all the ladies' homes. You get to go to their plastic surgeon's office.
Oh, my God.
You get to spend 7 hours in a bus full of Real Housewives of New Jersey.
That's
fans.
Not true.
Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, are they?
Hell.
It does. Do they think that there are people who are such big fans of that cast, of that show, that that's the... I mean, this isn't like the Seinfeld tour where you go around and see all the wacky places on that show. I mean, this is... The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Dude, you have no idea. They were only going to do one tour, and now they are having to book two, three, four additional tours because people are wanting to do it so bad.
They should take the people's money and then deport them immediately. Right?
That's I think they're legal. I think they're citizens.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm saying some people need to go.
I'm like, aren't why don't they just give me their $95? Come on.
Seriously. Aren't there like five versions or something like that of that show now? There's a Beverly Hills, and there's an Atlanta, and there's a New York, there's a New Jersey, there's a D.C. Is that all
Orange,
of them?
It's Orange County.
Orange County. Unbelievable how many people watch these shows. Just crazy.
Look, there's no shortage of really bad people. There really isn't. And now that everyone's getting their own show, I mean, let's face it. Jersey Shore would not be a hit if it wasn't for dick behavior.
And then there's Jersey-licious, which makes Jersey Shore look like the classy show. That's what's crazy about this. It's ridiculous. All right, Dax, well, you guys keep doing the great work in the newsroom there. TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. Have a good one, man.
Bye, guys.
You can go to KevinAbean.com right now and see the picture that we're going to be talking about coming up after the top of the hour. It's a bug. It's a picture of a bug that's mounted in a box that I got my beautiful wife for her birthday last month. The guys are mocking me, saying it is not a good gift. So we will discuss that.
You got her a bug for her birthday.
Hey.
Wow, we're out on a limb.
You'll have a chance to weigh in at KevinAbean.com and tell us what you think. That is coming up here on the Kevin Abean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Yeah, it's like the time I got my wife roadkill for her Valentine's Day.
She
didn't think that...
she didn't love it?
That crushed raccoon that I shoveled up and put into a box was a good gift. Women, well, women, huh?
That's on her.
What are you going to do?
That's women.
What are you going to do?
What did you do? I got no sleep last night.
Kevin is generally lost to us during hockey season. Is that what this is all about, Kevin? Was there another hockey game last night?
Maybe.
Is that what you did? So. You played it off initially as if like, I had insomnia or something. Oh, I couldn't get any sleep last night. You didn't tell us you were out all night.
I didn't go to a game, no. It's just a recorded one.
What happened?
I recorded a game.
Uh-huh.
I was watching.
And stayed up super late watching it?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yeah. But then, when I went to sleep, I didn't sleep very well.
I've got like 1 hour sleep.
I didn't sleep.
What did you do? So win-win-win-win-win situation.
But people can't tell, so that's
no,
the good
true.
Thing.
True. You do make it.
I hide it well.
Seamless. Big movies at the box office this weekend. Jackass 3D, $50 million in its debut weekend.
So good.
Not too shabby. Red also did very well for itself, $22.5 million in the comic book action film. The Social Network was third, Secretariat was fourth, Life as We Know It came in at number five, and then the rest of the top ten is as follows: The Legend of the Guardians, The Town, My Soul to Take, Easy A, and Wall Street. Money never sleeps. Neither does Rust, by the way. You ever told me that?
No.
Neil Young.
Hey, my.
See, that was the name of a very popular concert film that Neil Young had in 1979, Kevin.
Thanks for the reference. Put it in the file.
I just know Kevin loves Neil Young, so hey, I wanted to give him
and
a
old things.
I just wanted to give him a little
taste.
Sing.
I just terrible to give a voice. Taste of Neil Young.
Even people who like Neil Young have to admit he has a terrible voice.
Come on, Kevin. I sing real well.
It works on some of the songs that he sings.
Speaking of movies, who's got two thumbs? And is going to be driving around in the Back to the Future DeLorean in a couple hours. Who's that? Oh, this guy!
Yay!
Woo! You seem, overly excited about that opportunity.
You wouldn't be excited to hop in the Time Machine DeLorean? Get up to 88 miles an hour, Doc Brown?
Does it go back in time?
Yes!
But really?
I don't think so.
Right, so no.
You know, you got to put that along with the Batmobile and maybe James Bond's Aston Martin among the top three, four, five maybe famous cars in cinema history, don't you, Ralph?
Yes. Because on Friday, I was professing my enormous affection for the Back to the Future films, 1 and 2, right. Anyway. And I was talking about the fact they're going to be in theaters again, and they're celebrating the 25th anniversary, releasing it on Blu-ray, and there's a whole bunch of celebrating going on around the Back to the Future film.
Have they changed them up so they put them in color now or anything?
They have always been in color. Yes. And so apparently the guys who have the Back to the Future DeLorean said, well, we can bring it by the station if you want to hop in and take a little joyride.
Dude, that's pretty sweet.
Come on!
That's pretty sweet.
At any point during this segment, it would have been good to play the Back to the Future theme that we've got queued up.
Hey, Kevin, were you going to save that for a time when it was more appropriate?
I thought he was going to cue me. I didn't know.
Oh, I can't wait.
Look, if you want me to just start guessing when to play stuff, I'll do it.
Ralph, we've got to go back in time and tell Kevin when to play the theme from the movie.
I don't mind, but you better promise me I'll be back in time.
Now, we tried a time machine for this thing.
All right, we got it. You can't get in the Back to the Future mobile and not achieve the correct speed, though, right, Ralph? I know you're in Los Angeles.
It's not the Back to the Future mobile, by the way.
You know what I mean. The DeLorean. Yeah, you have to go.
You've got to get it up to 88 miles per hour in order to get it up to the time.
Then what happens?
Then the flux capacitor kicks in.
But that doesn't happen.
And then you go to whatever coordinates you have preset there on the dash.
But that's the part that in reality doesn't happen. So what's the point of going 88?
You know what I do? The point, I'm going to go back to when you were 10 years old, Kevin. I'm going to kick your little ass. That's what I'm going to do.
I think the point is that going in the DeLorean is an A, but going in the DeLorean at 88 and a half miles an hour is an A plus. That's the cherry on top. You got to do that.
All right. I don't think the people who own the DeLorean are going to let me drive it, let alone get it up to 88 miles per hour.
Maybe not.
But if they do, nothing will happen.
You know what will happen? Flames will come along where the tires are, and then the car will disappear, and then this lights the vehicle. Twink. That's what'll happen. And one thing I've learned is just like 30 seconds ago, I'll hit you in the back of the head. You won't even see me coming because I'll be over here and I'll be over there too. And you won't even know what's happening. How about
there
that?
Is nothing, no matter how awesome it is, that Kevin cannot hate on. Have you noticed that?
No, that's how true. Is it awesome to ride in a car from a movie 25 years ago that
because
doesn't
it's
do
a car from a movie 25 years ago. That's why it's awesome.
It's one of the coolest cars ever in movie history. The DeLorean.
It's the Back to the Future mobile.
Right. So what?
Wow.
Does nothing excite you?
Yes, you are alone.
When it comes into the parking lot of the show today, I don't want you near it. I don't want you looking at it.
Done.
I want you thinking, I don't want it coming out of your mouth. I don't want it.
Done.
You keep the DeLorean out of your mouth.
I'm going to run into it with my car. What do you think of that?
No, you won't.
I'm going to ram it.
I'll go back in the future before you were going to get there, and then I'll be behind you. You won't even know how it happened. You'd be like, Biff. Hello. Hello, McFly. You'll be a big dumbhead, and then you'll end up in a truck full of poop.
Dude, I hope you take the Back to the Future mobile out and you run over Eric Stoltz at a crosswalk and kill him. Just to add to his misery this week.
Jesus.
Wow. What's happening?
Wow.
Can we talk about anything from this decade?
Yeah. You're a douchebag.
All right.
Right here, right now.
That is as current as this second.
It could never be more current. That is fresh as today's headlines. Right now, that's happening. That is for real. Today's Celebrity Tuesday? Today's Celebrity Birthdays. Chuck Berry is 84 years old today. Coach Mike Ditka of the Bears, 71 years old today. Jean-Claude Van Damme is 50 years old today. Neo, not the one from The Matrix.
Okay.
But the guy who raps.
The rapper.
He is 31 years old today. Actress Frida Pinto, who could not be more lovely and delicious.
Hey!
She is 26 years old. If I'm not mistaken, I believe she's still dating her co-star from Slumdog Millionaire.
I think she is, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's a long-lasting partnership those two have had. And actor Zac Efron celebrates...
Mr. Efron! Did you get my letters?
Celebrates his 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:43.
I don't want to bite into any of your time here, Ralph, but I am saying that it's the 18th of October, which means Halloween is practically here. We've barely played this song this year.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Because this song blows.
Ghostly things are going to happen.
Oh, really? No. Is this something else that Kevin hates?
Ooh-ah,
proud to hate.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
No!
Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
What if we got the Halloween spooks guys in the DeLorean car? What if we did that today, Kevin? How's that sound?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Time for the showbiz peep out.
I can take both out with one car accident.
Good. How dare you.
I'm in.
Here's Ralph on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show with the Showbiz Beat.
You know, a lot of people showing a lot of love for BTTF.
What's BTTF?
Back to the Future.
Okay.
A lot of emails.
Great.
This one from Gerardo. I hate you so much.
Me?
I think I'd give my left nut to take a joyride in that bad boy. You lucky SOB. That's from Gerardo. Oh.
Yeah, you are lucky.
He's right.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? I got to see the Back to the Future DeLorean at the Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle this year, but that's all. They wouldn't allow you to sit in it. You're so lucky.
Yeah.
I got. And this one. Ralph, I hope you can get it up to 88 miles per hour and go Back to the Future before Kevin was conceived. Then kick in the door wherever his parents are doing it. Just point them and say, stop what you're doing. Stop it right now. And then walk out. That's from Mario. So that's my plan today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop you from being born, Kevin. How do you like that?
If you could do that, it would be interesting. But you can't. You know why? Not going back in time.
Gotta go back in time.
Not doing that. That's why.
I don't mind, but you better promise me I'll be back in time.
Yeah.
Gotta go back in time.
Here's the cool thing about that car in that movie. They went back in time.
Yes, they did.
Yes. Can't do that now.
As I will.
Can't do that now.
Oh, I can't wait to go
not
back.
Not going to happen.
Ralph, will you go see the movies when they're re-released on the big screen?
I think I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll probably go in the DeLorean. Maybe I'll go back to when they were originally released and see the premiere. Maybe I'll go to that. Give Michael J. Fox a little heads up. Stop him on the red carpet and say, dude.
Seriously. Start taking some meds now.
Megan Fox is in the news.
Oh, yes.
Why?
Apparently she's been cast in a brand new film called Friends with Kids.
Yes.
It's an ensemble comedy that is being written and directed and starring an actress named Jennifer Westfeld, who you may or may not know is a longtime girlfriend of John Hamm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's a very talented actress, and apparently she has written a script about a group of 30-somethings who start to have kids, and they watch the relationships and the marriages around them start to fall apart. Because of these kids that they're having and the toll it takes on their relationships. So apparently, quite the cast. It's got John Hamm, not coincidentally, will also be in the film. Adam Scott will be in the film. Kristen Wiig will be in the film, along with Jennifer Westfeld. And now Megan Fox is joining the cast.
Everything's better with Megan Fox in it, right?
Yes.
That's true.
So, looking forward to that. Apparently, the producers are Mike Nichols and Jake Kasdan, by the way. So, quite a pedigree.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Yeah, one question. Hello. Speaking of movies.
He did say one question. That did happen.
Question. Hello. Today's celebrity birth. What? No. Today's list of hot weekend movies, the big movies at the box office this weekend. Jackass 3D debuted with $50 million. Pretty strong.
Great.
For an opening weekend.
Second, Mike, you had Knoxville on the Love Line last night. Was he just over the moon?
Yeah, he couldn't even really wrap his head around it. They were really, really hoping, wishing, praying for $33 million. That was what him and Paramount were hoping for on Friday night. And so
they got that Friday, I think.
Yeah. Big time.
Red did very well in its debut as well, $22.5 million for this opening weekend. I think that will increase.
That's a really good movie.
Yeah. I think people were probably torn this weekend which to see, Jackass 3D or Red, so I think that will have, as they say, legs in the business. The Social Network is third. Secretariat was fourth. Life as We Know It was fifth. And then Legend of the Guardians, The Town, My Soul to Take, Easy A, and Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, running out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer-guitarist Chuck Berry is 84 years old today. You may remember in Back to the Future, Kevin, when Michael J. Fox is playing Johnny B. Goode, Chuck Berry's cousin is there with him in that band, and he calls his cousin up and says, Chuck, I think I got an idea for that sound you were looking for.
Nope.
So Michael J. Marty McFly creates the Chuck Berry sound in that movie.
All right.
What a coincidence, huh?
That's crazy.
Oh, it's awesome. He's 84 years old today. Mike Ditka, the coach from the Chicago Bears, is 71 years old today. Jean-Claude Van Damme celebrates his 50th birthday today. By the way, today in stores, apparently a new DVD, a movie directed by Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, really?
Called The Killing Machine, apparently, is available on DVD. You may have to check that out.
That's going to be craptastic.
Finally, Dolph is directing. He should have been directing for years instead of just acting.
Love it.
I think. You know, he's got a master's degree in chemical engineering.
What?
He was offered a scholarship to go to MIT. Oh, speak seven languages.
Wait. When did you stop talking about Dolph Lundgren?
Saying that's all Dolph Lundgren.
Him?
That's him.
No.
True.
All right.
Neo is 31 years old today. Actress Frida Pinto from Slumdog Millionaire is 26 years old. And actor Zac Efron celebrates his 23rd birthday.
Holy sh! It's Zac Efron!
Yes, it is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program from the Los Angeles Kings. We have Matt Green in the studio. Your mom was a stripper.
No, she was not.
No, I'm saying
how dare you,
that's
sir.
That's the Colin topic.
Oh.
Based on Minka Kelly's mom.
Yeah, nice work there, Minka's mom.
Her mom was a stripper.
Yeah. That must be so weird. Imagine if your mom is currently a stripper, and
nope.
That's what she leaves the house and goes to do at night to raise money. It's weird.
I don't think she'd make any money.
But imagine the lap dances you could get at home, though, if your mom was a stripper. You wouldn't even have to leave
free.
The house. It'd be great. If you're watching TV, mom would just come up to you and go,
nope. Seth Green will be on the program tomorrow.
Are you watching that Boardwalk Empire, Ralph?
I am.
You watching that?
Am.
Oh, it's so good. And
very
Michael
good.
Pitt's character, Jimmy, his mom is Gretchen Mol as a stripper.
I know.
I'm thinking how unbelievably hot is his mom?
Gretchen Mol's so hot.
Speaking of hot, do you guys mind if I mention the final guest on tomorrow's show?
Please do.
UFC ring girl. What do you call her?
Yeah.
Ring girl. And Playboy model, Ariane Celeste.
Oh, my God!
She will be in the studio tomorrow
morning. Man.
Mayonnaise.
She's pretty.
She is pretty. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, you didn't mention Ariane Celeste.
We'll say.
Would have been such a good joke. All right, let's give up on today's show and invite you to stick around instead for the beautiful Kat Corbett. She is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the latest from the Black Keys. Also got some Foo Fighters, Muse, Temper Trap, Gorillaz, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.